We are in the theme for the year. If you look at the bulletin, it says 2016 theme, do it God's way. Do it God's way. This is our theme for this entire year. The scripture says that He has placed before us life and death, blessings, cursings, and then the Bible says, choose life. I mean, duh. But we are duh people, aren't we? We choose death, and we should be choosing life. I mean, He's put it right in front of us. Life, death, blessings, cursing. And then He says, choose life. Choose life. You know why? Because there's a way that seems right onto a man, but the ends of that way is death. Here's our problem. Our natural inclination leads us in the path of death. And so we have to be wise enough and smart enough to realize through life I have choices. And I need to choose life. I need to do it God's way. His way is always the best way. Absolutely always the best way. Brings blessing. It's best for our family, best for every aspect of our life if we'll do it God's way. The problems we have, most of the problems we have, in the situations that we don't like, is because we are doing it our own way. And we're eating, as it says in Proverbs 1, the fruit of our own ways. And so we don't want to do that. We want to do it God's way. So we have talked on different themes thus far in the year. Talked about praying God's way. We've talked about different aspects today. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about finances God's way. Finances God's way. Now, in your bulletin, there is a sheet that you can fill out. Follow along as we go through this. This morning, I can hear someone say, oh no, they're not going to be talking about money, are they? Money. Don't come to church to hear about money. Tell me something else. Well, the thing is, Jesus had this habit of talking about money. In fact, He talked about it a whole lot. In fact, He watched what people were putting in the offering. And commented to His disciples about what people put in the offering. I mean, is our Lord and Savior that interested? Does He know what you put in the offering this morning? Yeah, I guess He does. He's watching then, He'll watch now. But the whole point of this is not so much, we're not just focusing on the giving aspect, but how are you handling your money? And here is the important thing, and it's your first fill-in. One test of your faithfulness is the use of your money. Listen to what it says in Luke 16. Jesus said, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man, who will give you what is your own? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I think we all agree that what the test is going to be in our lives when we stand before the Lord is faithfulness. It is required of servants and stewards to be faithful. God wants us to be faithful. And so we're going to be judged on faithfulness. Well, what is the test of faithfulness? Here in Luke 16, and we didn't add the earlier verse, but there's three tests here in Luke 16. If you are faithful in that which is little, I'll give you much. Now, that's one test of faithfulness. Faithfulness in little, I'll give you much. The last one, if you're faithful in that which is another man's, I'll give you your own. Now, those are important tests, but our point is not to go into that one or those two. But here's the second one. If you're faithful in unrighteous mammon, if you're not faithful in that, who will give you true riches? God wants us to have true riches. He wants our life to count. We want to have riches in heaven. We want to be judged to be faithful. And our rewards in heaven is based on our faithfulness here and what we've done. And so one of the tests of faithfulness is how you use your money. I don't think that we think about that very often. The way you use your money is a very spiritual thing. Meant to be a spiritual thing. And so it's something we're going to look at the next couple of weeks and see what is God's way in handling our finance. What does He say about our money. Here's your next fill-in. Your money is the tangible embodiment of your abilities and work. It's the tangible embodiment. When you reach in your wallet and you take out a $20 bill and hold it in your hand, what are you holding? You are holding an embodiment of your abilities, your skill, your labor, your effort, because we went somewhere to work doing all those things, giving our time, our energy, our thinking. And what did they give us back? Money. And with that money, what do we do with it? We buy food, clothing, shelter, pleasure, recreation, vacations. The medium of exchange is money. So money is a very powerful thing. It represents your life. Because you have put some your energy and effort and talents and hours into something and you receive back money. And so now that money, you are going to use it in some way. And God says, I'm watching that because that's a test of faithfulness. How you handle your money. Money is neither good or evil. It didn't say, and I don't even think I have it in here in these verses, but we're pretty familiar with the verse that says, the love of money is the root of all evil. No, it wasn't money. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. And so money is neutral. Money's just a part of our life. We're going to be in this culture, you're going to handle money. We have to handle it. We don't feel bad about handling it. We just need to do it God's way. Life, death, blessing, cursing. Which way am I going to go with this? Well, I want to do it God's way. And so we're just sort of setting the foundation why we're even talking about money. See, a lot of churches don't want to talk about money. Oh, don't talk about that. Well, they're missing the whole point. Money represents their life. You don't talk about money. Well, then we could just sort of put this sugar coating on everything we come together, but we never touch really the essence of our lives. It's one easy thing just to raise your hands, easy to walk down to the front. It's something else, how you handle your money. And that's why God looks at that and watches it. It's a very important facet of our life. Money's a part of our life, and listen, it will either be the root of your life or the fruit of your life. You do not want money to be the root of your life, where everything stems out of your money. Money needs to be a fruit of our life, the result of our life, a blessing that comes in our life. Money is to be that. But as soon as you transfer what is meant to be fruit and you make it the root, that's when we get into trouble. How do we know what we should do with our money? Well, the Bible is our manual. It's very clear. The material isn't hard to understand. I mean, it doesn't mean like, man, I got to really get into this and spend hours and hours and understand what God wants me to do with my money. It's not hard to understand. It's pretty simple, quite straightforward. We ignore it, but it's still there. It's pretty straightforward. This is not a hard thing to understand what God wants us to do with our money. But it is hard to do if you have a hard heart. The harder your heart, the harder it is to handle money God's way. Now, that's just the simple truth. And, man, I don't want to get so personal here, but I just know how I feel sometimes. You might even say, like you said at the beginning, they're talking about money. Well, you have to ask yourself, well, why am I reacting this way? Why don't I want to hear a message on money or how I should handle it? And it may be that your heart is hardened in a certain way. And God wants to plow up our heart. He wants to make it mellow and so that He can plant a lot of good things in there. And when He plants good things in our life, you know what the fruit of that is many times? Money! God doesn't, God doesn't desire that all of His children are poor. They all have lack. You know, if they handle their money God's way, then they're going to be pretty pathetic and they're not going to have very much in life. I mean, that's not what it says. It said if you do it God's way, and you choose life, you're going to have blessing. And the Lord gives us power to get wealth. But we need to do it God's way. It's amazing how Satan twists our thinking because we want to be blessed. And the Satan says to us, the only way you can be blessed is don't do your finances God's way. Do everything else God's way. But you just don't, you resist the temptation to handle your money God's way. And it's just, there's a way that seems right unto man, but it ends in death. And the ones that pursue money as the first thing in their life usually are the ones that either have poverty or they have riches with sorrow. And so we need to see how God wants us to handle our money. So here are some financial checks. Say the Lord was going to interview each one of us and say, okay, I want to gauge how you're handling your money. If you've been faithful in unrighteous mammon, we'll talk about mammon in just a moment here. We're going to check how you're doing in this situation. I wrote down four questions here that the Lord might ask us, and I would ask you to consider prayerfully before the Lord. Here's the first question. A financial check of faithfulness. Where do you turn to have your needs met? Where do you turn to have your needs met? The scripture says in Matthew 6:24, we read it, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, what is mammon? Some people say mammon is money, and I suppose you could say that, but we've already said money is neutral. So mammon isn't just strictly money. There's a spirit behind mammon. There's a spirit of mammon. And that spirit is trusting, is causing you to trust your money for your future and your well-being and for your needs. Trust money for your needs. That's the spirit of mammon. And that's why it says you can't serve God and mammon, because God is to be our source. He is the one that meets our needs. He's the one we turn to. It doesn't matter how much money we have in our bank account. I'm going to turn to God as my source. He is God. He is the supplier. And if you turn to God, well, then your eyes will go off of your money because your eyes are focused on Him. But if you have the spirit of mammon, which is really the god of this world, mammon is the god of this world, because as you can see, the world without God says money is my source. If I have money I can buy, money I can spend. And so they look to money as their source. And the scripture says here, you cannot serve God and mammon. It's impossible. You're going to love one, hate the other. And if you love mammon, you're going to hate this message. I mean, really, you won't know it. You may not be able to explain it. But you're hating a message of God's truth on how to handle finances because you think money is your source. And somehow, there's going to be somewhere along this message, they're going to encourage me to give more. I know. It's going to be giving more. And we think to give is a bad thing. I mean, the spirit of mammon says that. Now think about it. If money is your source, if I give, I have less of that. And so I have less of the source to meet my needs. So I don't like that. But if God is your source, then money is removed from it. No, God is the answer to my needs. I'm trusting Him. I'm not trusting my money. And when you love God, then money becomes secondary. Now this is, boy, this is right down where we live. This is right where we live. I mean, we all have a purse, we all have a wallet, we all have a debit card somewhere. And unfortunately, we're going to see in a minute, we all have credit cards. So you have to say, okay, wait a minute now. I got to let my mind be, I want to do it God's way.
want to do it God's way here. Okay. Here's what the Scripture says, Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. God's aware of your needs. He's well able to meet our needs. In fact, He wants to meet our needs. Not only does He want to meet our needs, He wants to bless us abundantly. And so, these scriptures are pointing us that God is our source. But here's the problem. Our natural eyes see that money is your source because we're using it. When you go from here, and if you're going to, you know, go to a restaurant, you're going to take your money out. And when you go to the grocery store, you're taking your money out. And if you plan a vacation, you're taking your money out. And so everything from the natural point, money is my source. And this is the problem. Because outwardly, tangibly, I'm seeing that money is my source. And yet spiritually, with spiritual eyes, I have to see God as my source. And so you really have to transition and get past the outward expression to see what is behind this. And behind money as your source is the spirit of mammon. Trusting God for your source, He is well able to bless you and meet all of your needs as you come to Him. The Scripture tells us, if we have achieved money in this life, see, then you sort of can relax because you say, okay, I trust God, but I got enough in the bank account to cover me if God doesn't come through. I know how you think because this is how I think. I trust God for my needs, but I feel a lot better about it when I have some money in the bank account. But we have to get past this. Listen to what 1 Timothy 6:17 says. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to endure. So there is a command to those of us that have, we have some money. We've saved. We've got a nest egg put aside. And the Scripture says, don't trust in that. That's uncertain. That's uncertain. There's nothing solid about that. You trust in God. Don't trust in what you've saved up. Goes on, 1 Timothy 6:6 says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Sometimes I wish I had a pair of scissors to cut certain verses out of the Bible. And that's one that I'd like to cut out. But as you look at it, we need to embrace it. It says, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Do you need more than your relationship with God? Do you need more than your basic needs being supplied? No, we don't. So we need to be content. Does that mean that you can't aspire to have more? To be a steward of God's kingdom so that you can have more, exercise more control over the things of this world? I don't think there's anything wrong aspiring to that. As long as you're doing it as a steward, and not as the source, as long as you're viewing that as a fruit that God's going to put into my life, I don't need it. I can be content with just food and clothing. So I'm not greedy. I'm not striving. But I can aspire to more. And I think there's nothing wrong with that, to aspire to more. But it's all a way, it's all the condition of your heart. So we need to be content with the basics. That's one of your fillings. Be content with the basics. Now here's the second question that the Lord may ask us if He was testing our faithfulness with money. What do you seek to increase first? God's kingdom or your bank account? What do you seek to increase first? Here's what the Scripture says, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now here's what God says. If you put me first, seek me first, just see if I don't add some things to you. Add blessings to you. Add income to you. Add to your bank account. But He wants you first to seek Him first. Because if you don't seek Him first, all those other things will just take you further away from God. Because now you begin to trust in those riches. He says, seek me first. You have to have real things as real things. Things that are eternal last forever. And they are the things that are not seen. The seen things that are seen are temporal, but they don't last forever. And so what are we striving for? What do I want more of? Do I want the bigger home, the nicer car? I want to go on this vacation. Listen, and I'm not saying there can't be an aspiration to things, obviously. But what are you seeking first? This is the thing. What is first in your life? The first thing in your life is, my family and I are serving God. I'm reaching out to the people that I'm working with to share the good news of what God has done for them. I'm aware of spiritual realities. I'm aware of the needs of people around me, that if I can meet a practical need, I might open their heart to their spiritual need. Are you putting the kingdom of God first in your life? You're thinking about it. You're strategizing. You're planning. You do that first, God's going to add. See, we never lose out by doing it God's way. He says, I put before you life, death, blessing, cursing. But we think the cursing or the lack is coming on the God side. And God says, you know what? Choose life. Just see. Just check this out. If you put me first, just see if I don't bless your life with abundance. Just see if there's not fruit that comes back into your life. Here's what 1 Timothy 6:9 says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The sorrows come on the side of seeking to be rich. Now, very few people ever acknowledge that they're desiring to be rich. They just want to be richer. And that's a little ploy of Satan. Oh, no, no, don't desire to be rich. But I just want to be richer. Just a little more confident, because your source is the money. So I feel a little better if I have more of it. So I just want a little bit more than I have now. And when you get that, you'll want a little bit more. And that is the person that pierces themselves through with many sorrows. Now, how does this love of money express itself? You ready for it? Four-letter word. Debt. Debt is one of the sorrows. Who's your fill-in? Debt is one of the sorrows of the love of money. Debt. Debt. When you want something and you have a certain amount of money, and you might even have prayed to God for it to come to you, but it hasn't happened, I will turn now to a source that can give me more money than what I have. And that's debt. And that allows you to provide for you something right now that I don't have money to have. I don't have money to have it right now, but I have this other source. It's a credit card. It's a loan. I can turn to that source to meet my need. We don't realize it, but that is a way of trusting the spirit of mammon. So, here's the third question that the Lord might ask you of whether you're being faithful. Are you in debt? Are you in debt? Now, I must quickly add, not all debt is bad or wrong. I'm not saying here you should never borrow. But this is the limitations I put on that in my own life and what I encourage other people. Don't borrow for something that depreciates in value, that goes down in value over time. If you're going to borrow, borrow for things that appreciate and go up in time. So a home, in general, over time, will go up in value. And I don't think there's anything wrong in borrowing for a home. You're gaining equity. You're not just renting and letting the money go. You're actually gaining equity in the house. And there's so many different aspects of how to get into a home. But never overextend yourself where you are now putting yourself in a sorrowful situation. And here's how debt puts you in that sorrowful situation. Proverbs 22 and verse 7 says, "The borrower is servant to the lender." You become a servant or a slave to that institution or person that has lent you money. And we are only to have one Lord, God. And so we don't want to put ourselves in a situation where we become a slave. A slave has to keep working at a job that they hate because they have to pay the bills. I don't think God ever wants us to be in that kind of situation. A slave can't give very much because every dollar is going to my bills and my loans. So I love to give, but I can't give because I have to. And we don't realize we put ourselves in that situation by going into debt. We're not content with food and raiment. I want this, and I want it now. So I have to go to a source outside of God. See, you can pray. I tell you, I don't have time to go into it. One of the most exciting things is when you have a need and you're trusting God as your source and you pray about it, I'm amazed how God comes through and answers. Really does, because He loves to show Himself strong in this regard. But if you just sort of give a half-hearted prayer and all the time you're planning, okay, well, I'm really going to have to go and borrow some money here. And, oh, I don't want to have to get into this debt, but I have to. Because you want something that possibly you could get away with without having, but you think you need it, and so you have these things come upon our lives. Debt is risk. 100% of bankruptcies happen to people who have debt. 100% of bankruptcies happen to people who have debt. 100% of homes that have been foreclosed on or loans that have been foreclosed on is people that have debt. I mean, if you have no debt, you don't have to worry about that. But debt is what pulls us down into this. So it's important that, see, what I'm trying to say, none of this is legalistic that I'm talking to you today. Oh, you can't borrow. Never have a debt. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the spirit that's within us. A spirit that says, I'm not content with what I have. I have to have more because my neighbor has more and everyone else in the community has more. And so I have to borrow to get that. Not trusting God for it. Overextending yourself. Getting into a situation where every dollar is taken for debt. And the compound interest just cripples and kills you. We need to say, Lord, I'm going to do this Your way. And say, I'm not going to have two masters. I'm going to have one master. I'm going to trust God. Now, I got this from Dave Ramsey. I love what he says about credit cards. He says, do you have a MasterCard? Who named that? MasterCard. You have a Discover card? Well, you're going to discover bondage is what you're going to discover. American Express card is really an American distress card. And a Visa card is a visa to the state of misery. Now, I carry a Visa card in my pocket, and I have a MasterCard in my pocket. But they're not my master. Because I don't use a credit card for credit. I have an accounting system that they do it all for me. Basically, everything Kay and I spend, we put on the MasterCard. We get air miles for it. So when we fly somewhere, Visa's not costing us anything. But we agreed 30, 40 years ago when we first got that credit card. If there comes a month that we can't pay off the balance, we'll cut this card up. In all the years we've had a credit card, we've never used it for credit. We've always paid the balance at the end of the month. Why would you pay 18% interest or whatever it is on a creditor? If you are going to borrow money, this is the worst way to ever borrow money. Never use a credit card for credit. In fact, if you are tempted and you find, then you need to cut it up. Say, this is not my master. So you can have things. This is not legalistic. You can have things as long as it's not mastering you. If God is your master and you've set the guidelines, He's your source, then you can have things, but it's not your master. See, it's not how much money you have. It's how much money has you. You know, does your money have you? You can have lots of money as long as it doesn't have you. Because then it's a fruit, not a root. And so it's really important that we grasp these principles if we're going to do things God's way. All right, who are you a servant to is the question that the Lord might ask us. Who are you a servant to? Is your debt crippling? Is it causing you to be put under tremendous pressure? Here's the last question the Lord may ask you. Do you have a plan for your money? Do you have a plan for your money? Do you know where your money goes? A lot of people at the end of the month, they turn to their spouse and say, "Where did all the money go?" Where did all the money go? My dad used to have an expression when I was growing up. He'd say, "Money flows like water around this place." Anytime as a kid, I'd ask him for something. He'd say, "Man, all right, here's the money. Money flows like water around here. Where does all the money go?" Well, you need to have a plan. Listen, if we're serious about this, if God is gauging our faithfulness and it's going to give us spiritual riches as a result of how faithful we are with money, why wouldn't we think this out? Why would we just let it be haphazard? Why would we go through our life wondering, "Well, I hope I have enough." Halfway through the month, you see something you want, you check your bank account, you say, "Well, I think I can buy that. Or I can put that on the card." Without thinking, what are the other things I have? And is that money designated for somewhere else? And here's the other thing. Does God have that money designated to be given to someone else? I've had so many people say, "I would love to give. I just wish I had more money, because if I had more money, I'd be a giver. I'd be the best giver. I tell you, I would be so generous if God would just give me more money." It's crazy the things we say. He's giving you money. But you haven't thought through how you're going to spend that money. You just followed your whims. You followed an advertisement that's so attractive on TV. And that's all what advertisement is. It's trying to get you to buy something you basically don't need. But he wants you to think you need this, and it would be so good for you to have this. So we're tempted. We're all tempted. There's not one of us that are not tempted along these ways. So you need to have a plan. What's the plan for your money called? Here's another word we hate. Budget. A budget tells your money what to do. A budget gives every dollar a name and somewhere to go. Well, I would think that that would be a good thing if we're going to be faithful in our money. See, I used to think that budgets were only for people that didn't have very much money. And so they really had to shrimp and save and be careful. And so they need a budget. But someone that is sort of comfortable and there's enough money coming in, and out, they don't need a budget. I used to think that. But I've discovered, and this is convicting because Kay and I don't always do this, we need to have a budget when we have more. That's even more important. Because now I have excess of my own needs. Where would God want that excess to go to? So easy to think, well, I'll just get this and I'll just buy that and I'll get that and I'm going to spend it here. And we just spend the excess and never get the blessing. Because Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. Do you think Jesus knew what he was talking about? I would dare say 90% of us disagree with Jesus as far as our feelings go. We feel it's better to receive than to give. Someone gives you something, how do you feel inside? Woo! Wah! They brought me a free coffee. And the smallest things make us happy. And it should. There is a pleasure in receiving. There's a tremendous pleasure in receiving. But it is more pleasurable to give. And many of us have never experienced that because we always feel I don't have enough to give. And it's because we haven't given every dollar we have a name and a place to go. We haven't thought about a budget. We haven't prayed through a budget. I'll tell you, a lot of conflicts in marriages would end if you had a budget. Because either he or she questions where the money is spent by the other person. And because there's no budget, now there's conflict. I thought we should get that. Well, I don't think we should. I want to get this over here. And there's so much conflict. So much better to sit down at the beginning of the month and have a plan and say, here's what we have, and here's how we're spending it. And you agree on it. And you go back and forth and decide and pray and say, this is what God wants to do with our money. Now, here's the amazing thing. As you budget in giving, and we'll talk about this next week as we do get to giving, because that is a major part of handling your finances. But as you give, you're going to find blessings flow back, and you're going to have more abundance than you ever imagined. But many of us have never experienced that joy of giving because we don't give. And we don't give because we don't feel we have enough to give. So this is really practical, folks. This is right down where we're living. And again, I just asked, are we going to do it God's way or our way? Here's two final verses. Oh, well, let me read all these verses here. I just sort of blew past them. Let me just read this in closing. Luke 14:28. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he's laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So Jesus is saying, you need to plan. You're going to put a building up. When we put the addition on here, we worked out a budget. This is what it's going to cost. So that you can finish. Here's Proverbs 21:20. There is desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise. I hope we're wise. And there is a desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. And if you don't have a plan to where your money goes, you will tend to squander the blessing God has put into your life. And Isaiah 55:2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. The Word of God is so clear on how to handle our money. And I trust that these next couple of weeks, as we focus on this, will set us free. And that we'll get on God's path, doing it God's way, so we receive all the blessing, all the benefits that are to flow into our life, that there's much fruit in our life as a result of it, and we're not always scraping, digging in the dirt, because if money is your root, you're going to be digging in the dirt all the time for it. But if money is the fruit of your life, it's a blessing that grows and comes, and you can enjoy it and benefit from it. Let's stand together this morning. Well, the front of your bulletin has this on it. We're at a fork in the road. We can do it my way or God's way. And I want to see yourself standing at that fork in the road this morning. We've heard God's word, and now we have a decision. Will we handle our finances God's way or man's way? Will I get serious about this and realize this is a test of my faithfulness? This is going to determine how much God can use me and bless me with spiritual riches. And I just ask that as I pray this prayer, that just in your own mind, you'll say somewhere in this prayer, Lord, with your help, I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to do it your way. Let me pray for us. Father, I stand at that fork too. Kay and I stand at this fork constantly. Because, Lord, even though in the past we can choose your way, but we can divert and come back and do it our way. Lord, we want to totally give ourselves to you this morning. We don't want to be deceived by the enemy. We want to do it your way. And, Lord, your word is clear. You are our source, not our money. And Lord, we want to look to you, and we want to learn how to handle our money better your way. But Lord, right now, in this moment, we choose to do it your way. Guide each person here, every couple. May they come into unison, into an agreement on this, so that we can receive the blessings you have for us, Lord. I ask and pray it in Jesus' name for your honor and glory. Amen and amen. Well, you're dismissed this morning. Do go to the cafe, have a cup of coffee, and enjoy. If you're visiting for the first time, be sure to go back, take your card back, and get your free gift. If you would like prayer, there are people that will pray for you here at the front at the end of this service. Be blessed this week. Amen.